Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
The Paralympics are on, Tass.
They certainly
and, are. All the problems that were perceived about the funding and the athletes getting there. I suppose they saved some money because the Russians aren't there. But Darren Boyd's going to have a chat to us about it. Morning, Boydie. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Macca. Tass, how are you both?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
So,
yeah, having a great time.
Whereabouts are you, as a matter of interest?
Can't say, Tass. There's part of the coverage is that we've got a lot of people on the ground over in Rio, and there's some of us who are monitoring proceedings working for 32 years. So that's where you find me.
That's right. So it's secret.
Right.
So have they saved some money, the organisers, by the Russians not being there?
maybe a little bit, Macca, but not a great deal, because what they were able to do by cancelling the Russians' accreditation and spots is they were able to invite some other athletes to the game. So, but look, I think the biggest thing they've been able to do is send a message to the World Sporting Organisation, not the least the IOC, that, you know, sometimes you've just got to stand up and take a stand. And, you know, good leadership is about making, the right decision, not necessarily the easy one.
And it's, you know, look, I don't think anyone supports, you know, people participating in professional sport whilst taking drugs. I'm interested, you know, that the Paralympic sport seems to have taken a harder line than the IOC. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it is a fair comment, Macca. Look, I suppose that what the IPC, the International Paralympic Committee, has is in its favour is that it's a political beast, but it's not as significantly political, and, you know, you might want to read other words into that, as what the IOC is. So, you know, I suppose for the IPC, the International Paralympic Committee, it's far easier for them in many respects to cancel the Russians' membership of the committee and cancel the membership of their participation in the game from what it is for the IOC. I think that it created a significant... it sent a significant message to the world as far as from the sporting world, but I don't think it would send quite as... I think it would send a much stronger message and a much harsher political message if the IOC had have taken that same step, and that's probably why they balked at it.
I mean, the IOC are familiar with politics, but they're not so familiar with sending strong messages in that area, I suspect.
Well, that's right, and I think that their flavour of politics might be... You know, I mean, historically, the IOC has... They've had members who have been corrupt, and they've had serious issues in that area, and I suppose it makes it particularly challenging for them at times to make tough decisions.
Well, a particular IOC president had a particularly long assignment as a fascist minister in Spain, but anyway, we won't go too long there.
I was actually going to ask you, Darren, do you think that this is just the tip of the iceberg? Yeah. Is there a whole lot of other stuff happening out there that hasn't made the surface yet?
Do you mean from a doping point of view, Tass? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Look, I think it's hard. I suppose it's a difficult question to answer. I think there's no doubt that doping is going on. I mean, so there are athletes cheating every day around the world, whether that's in Paralympic sport or more likely in various forms of professional sport and Olympic sport as well. And it's a shame. And I think it's that classic situation where the cheats are always going to be one step ahead, or often going to be one step ahead of those that are seeking to prosecute them and find them. So
we've just had this comment. We've just had a comment that says that the Paralympics are ultra competitive, probably even more competitive than the other Olympics.
Well, I think it depends on the categories. I mean, there's no doubt that the Paralympics are ultra competitive. I mean, you know, you've got athletes in these events who are there for all sorts of different reasons. Some are there for reasons that are deeply personal and perhaps more akin to fulfilling their dreams in a life sense. But there are a lot of other athletes who are there for one purpose, and that's to win.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, but they are absolutely there for that purpose. And you know, we talked about it briefly last week. We had an Australian cyclist who has been a gold medalist at past Paralympic Games who tested positive to EPO, which is one of the drugs that Lance Armstrong and his merry men were using in those Tour de France wins. And I think, you know, there's still a process to go through. I think that Michael Gallagher has actually admitted that he made a mistake. So, you know, he'll be found guilty and rubbed out. And it just, you know, he was obviously there to win and felt like he needed to cheat to do it.
I think one of the great things about the Paralympics is to become an Olympic competitor is a huge benchmark that you've got to meet. But to be a Paralympian, it's almost doubly so, isn't it? Because in a lot of ways, you know, you're competing, yes, against like athletes, but the level of commitment I would suggest is higher, if that's possible, than it is for the other Olympics.
Well, I mean, I suppose it depends on the context, Macca. Some of the athletes at the Paralympic Games are going to have challenges that impact every day of their lives. So there are some who are severely impaired and who live their lives in really, really challenging circumstances. And physical circumstances and emotional and even intellectual circumstances. There are others for whom you wouldn't have any idea if you met them at the pub or at a cafe that there was any impairment whatsoever and any impact on their life whatsoever. But they've got different challenges because, the Paralympic sport is not funded as some of the Olympic sports are. And so, you know, these athletes are training 16, 20 hours a week and holding down full-time employment or full-time study, you know, and it's not going to make them a career apart from maybe one or two. And so, you know, there's no doubt that different, but look, they are the challenges, and that's why these guys are elite athletes and elite performers. Because we were sort of joking about it the other day. We were running through the list of athletes, and we're like, okay, this person's an engineer, and this person's a lawyer, and this person's a doctor, and this person, and it's like, you know, not that those are necessarily bars of high achievement. There's also some sensational builders and blue collar workers as well. But the point is that these athletes are high achievers, and that's why they have the opportunity to participate at this sport and to live their lives at a great level.
So, Darren, who is doing well? Who are our champions over there?
So, at the moment, Tass, we're only 2 days into competition, and Australia's won 3 gold medals. We've won 1 in the cycling, David Nicholls, and we have won 2 in the pool. A Queenslander named Brendan Hall, who today won the 400 metres freestyle for the second consecutive games, and yesterday a young lady called Lakeisha Patterson, a 17-year-old, won the 400 metres freestyle in her category as well.
So that's fantastic, isn't it?
Those star performers, yeah.
And who else should we?
A lot more to come.
Who else should we keep an eye out on?
Well, look, probably in a lead-up, anyone who's paid any attention to any of the Paralympic coverage, it's impossible to miss Ellie Cole, who's a young woman who was born and bred in Melbourne, moved to Sydney. She was sort of, I think, early teenagers or thereabouts, and now she's 24 and has been, she was a star in London, and she got an infectious smile and infectious personality, and today she won a silver medal. She missed out on the gold by 0.02,
one hundredth of a second.
It didn't matter, Tash. She was over the moon. She swam a time that she hadn't swum for sort of 8 or 10 years. It was a personal best time, and she's got a lot more to come, and so she's certainly one to look out for, as well as Kurt Fearnley, who's been a name synonymous with Paralympic sport for years. He's won wheelchair marathons all the way around the world. He's won gold medals at the Paralympic Games, and I believe this is his swan song in the Paralympic Games, Kurt, and he's one of the team captains, and he'll be racing for gold in various events over the next week or so.
Darren, thank you very much. It's always great to hear your perspective on sport. You actually make it sound really interesting, I have to say.
And I know it's a tough audience when I'm talking to you guys. So,
well, especially me, because everybody knows my attitude to sport.
That's right, and that's, I know that we tend to always find a way to talk about the performance-enhancing drugs, Macca, when you're around. But,
well, you know, fact of life, Boydie, isn't it?
So you've been listening to Darren Boyd, our sports commentator.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.